all of us. Now, a question for you. Did you know that the Jewish people, the Jews and the Christians, are the most favored people in the world? Now, you might say, why would that be, especially with all that's going on in Israel at the moment? And also, especially, because what has happened to many Christians and many Christian communities throughout the world today. But the reason why we are the most favored people on all the earth is because God has allowed us to have his written word. Now, we know Jesus is the living word, but the Bible is his written word. And in that written word, we receive all the information that we need to receive in order to live life. God's word is for information, understanding, and direction. But having said that, there's something even more important about God's word. And it is this, that God's word is transformational. There's a transformation that takes place when you and I look into his word, study his word, read his word, memorize his word, have his word into our heart and into our very being. Then it is transformative. And we, at one point, will begin to look at our life and say, 10 years ago, this is not the way I lived my life. Now I'm living my life according to the word of God. And this is very important for each of us. That's why we hold the word of God in such high regard within our congregation. Everything that you and I need to know in order to live life is found in the word of God. In fact, it is the word of God is the only source that tells us the history of humankind, the history of creation, the history of humankind. It's the only word that tells us how we really ought to live. And in addition to that, it is the only word that properly and authoritatively gives us what is going to happen in the future. No other word does what the word of God does. And therefore, the word of God is vitally important to us as a congregation and to you and to me as individuals. If without the word of God, we would have no idea what the truth is about the beginnings of things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the scripture goes, that's how we know about the beginning. There is a word, a phrase that sometimes is used, and it is this: plan ahead for the next 100 years, but live as though Jesus is coming back today. Now, that's a very important statement. I believe that Jesus could come at any time, and I believe that we need to be ready for his return at any time. But what does that mean? Does that mean that we just give up and do nothing? No, it doesn't mean that at all. In the past, there have been groups who've said the Lord is going to come on a certain day, and then they go up on a mountain and they sell everything they have and they wear white robes and they wait for the Lord to come. Well, the Lord's going to come, and we don't need to go on a mountaintop to wait for him. I can tell you, if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, when he comes, we'll know it, and we'll be taken away to be with him. However, even though we are to live our life as though the Lord is going to, he may not come for 100 years, we are to plan ahead. But in the meantime, we are to live our life as though he's going to come today. And indeed, he may come today. Wouldn't that be a praise God item? A praise God for every believer. The scripture is replete with information as to how we were to live, how we are to live in anticipation of our blessed Savior's return. There are two particular words that can be very upsetting. I wonder what they are. The two words are too late. Too late. Think about it for a moment. Well, now, why are those such interesting words? When the time changes in the fall and in the spring, there are times when we could be late. If we come before the service is over, we're late. But if we come after the service is over, we're too late. There are a number of examples in life that we have about being too late. For example, the time comes for you to renew your driver's license. You need to do it by the date it says, and if you don't, you're too late, and there's something else that needs to be done. Perhaps you're attending college or university and you live in a residence, and the residence doors close at 11 o'clock at night. Now, if you get there at 1 minute to 11, you're not too late. You're fine. But if you get there at 1 minute past 11, you're too late, and you have to make another arrangement. And then there's yet another example. a retail store has offered that the first 200 customers will receive a very special gift when you enter our doors. But if you're number 201, guess what? You're just too late. So we do not want to be too late. There is one too late from which we can never recover. Most too late we can recover, but there's one from which we can never recover. What is that too late? That too late is not placing our trust, our complete trust, in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Not believing who he is, the Son of God, God in human form, putting our complete trust in him, understanding that he died on the cross to pay for your sin and mine. Not just the sins of the whole world, he did, but importantly, for you and me to know that he died for my sin. And that means that I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And the only one who could be my Savior is Jesus, putting all my trust in him. If we put our trust in him before we die, it's not too late. But if we don't put our trust in him before we die, then it is too late. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to examine God's word concerning four major topics, but they're in two and two, two resurrections and two judgments. Let me just go back just a moment. For those people who put their trust in Jesus, when the time comes to physically die, either that or by the rapture, our soul, our spirit, our mind, and our personality are going to go out into eternity. Out into eternity. We are going to be with Jesus for all eternity. But for those who never put their trust in him as Savior and Lord, they too, soul, spirit, mind, and personality, are going out into eternity. But they are not going to be with Jesus. They're going to go into an eternity, a place called hell, where there is great torment. I'll have a little bit more to say about that later. There are two resurrections and two judgments. We need to keep in mind that God has placed these topics in his word for us to know. If he did not want us to know, they would not be in his word. That's why the word of God is so vital and important. So two passages of scripture this morning. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. One verse only. Let us hear the word of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Scripture number one. Scripture number two is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning to read at the 11th verse. Let us hear the word of God. Then I, John, saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let us pick up that last verse that we just read. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Let's define what the book of life is. It's also been referred to as the Lamb's book of life. In the Lamb's book of life, we find this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. The book of life and the Lamb's book of life are the same thing. Reference two different titles, but the same book. So what is the book? The book of life and the Lamb's book of life, they are the same. It's a divine record that is kept in heaven. I don't know how that record is kept, whether it's kept with quill and ink or pen and ink or ballpoint and ink or by computer, I don't know. What I know is there's a record kept in heaven. And that record in heaven is absolutely every person who has put his or her trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that book is there and it's kept in heaven, and God's angels keep the book and it is there. And if you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, your name is written in that book. And if you have not, your name is not there. Now, what does it say? Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is perhaps one of the most chilling passages of Scripture. And sadly, it is broadly ignored or sometimes treated only as fantasy in many circles. Most Christians who study the Word of God with sincerity of heart, they know that this is absolutely true. And they know something else. They know something which many people do not know. And we find this in the book of Hebrews, and it is this. It is appointed for men to die once, after that, the judgment. Now, what does that mean? That means that every human being is going to die once, and after that comes their judgment. Always keep in mind, there's a judgment day coming. Many years ago, people used to be paid on Friday. That was the day. That was the tradition. That's what was going on. Many retail stores paid on Friday. You used to have line up to the pay window to get your pay. Things are different today. Payday isn't always on Friday, but keep this in mind. There's an ultimate payday. And that ultimate payday is coming on the day of judgment. And there are 2 days of judgment. We'll talk more about that. There are those who believe, with the judgment coming, that somehow God has a great scale in the sky. He has a scale maybe in heaven, and on one side of the scale, remember the scale that had the balances on either side? You put a pound of weight there, and then you see if it matched a pound. Well, they have this weight. And there are people who believe that when God sees me in heaven after I die, that the scale is going to be there, and all my good deeds are going to be put on one side, and my bad deeds are going to be put on the other. And if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'm going to go to heaven. If my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds, then I'm going to go to hell. But that's not the way it works. It has nothing to do with that. I have a dear friend of ours, Linda and I have, this dear lady, her husband died some time ago, and she said to me on the phone, "We've been good people. We don't have any enemies. We've done everything that we can to reach out to people." And the answer to that is true. They've done that. They were wonderful, wonderful people. But that's not what's going to get them into heaven. It's not balancing this weight on a scale. It's whether or not we've placed our trust in Jesus, whether or not our names have been written in the book of life. I have a question for you now, and I'll have it again before the end of the message. Is your name written in the book of life? And do you know it? Very important. In the end times, there will actually be 2 separate judgments occurring at different times and in different courts. The first is called the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ, and the second is called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's really important that we keep those 2 separate in our minds. The first one, the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ. Now, in order to have the right perspective, we know that there is a major event that is yet to come, prophesied, but hasn't happened. It's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. It's called the rapture of the church. That's when the trumpet sounds and Jesus is collecting his church from all parts of the earth, and we're going to be with him. We're going to meet him in the clouds. Now, that is an event to which we are looking forward. It is going to happen. Every believer will hear the trumpet. Personally, I think that unbelievers will not hear it, but I believe that every believer will hear it. And when that trumpet sounds, those who have their names written in the book of life will be with Jesus forever. And then comes a judgment. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, this court is in session. Jesus is the judge. But in this case, he is not judging whether or not we should go to heaven or hell. That has already been predetermined. It's been predetermined at the time that you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord and put your trust in him. That's when it was determined. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be with Jesus forever, for all eternity. But This is called the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ, and it's similar to the judgment seat that was during the Olympic Games, when the judge would sit there and people would be awarded for what they have done. So the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ is whereby people, believers everywhere, will be awarded or rewarded for what they have done for the Lord. This is for believers and believers only. That's why it's important that we remember another verse, a series of verses. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Practically speaking, this means that we store up treasure in heaven, and how do we do it? We do it by serving the Lord. We do it by reaching out in the name of Jesus to other people. We do it through prayer, through Bible study, through prayer meeting. We do it through tithing. We do it through supporting Christian organizations. We do it through supporting the Word of God. Every one of us should ask ourselves the question, where is our money going? Where are we donating our money? Are we donating our money, our time, our talent? Are we donating these to God's work? That's really important. Oh, there are some good things that go on that may or may not be God's work, and we need to support them. But the treasure we're setting up in heaven is when we do what we do for the Lord's work while we're here on earth. So we all need to take a personal inventory, and that inventory is, are we sending treasure ahead for glory? Are we doing that? We need to make sure that we do. That will be the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ, and it is for believers. It's not whether we get into heaven or go to hell. We're already in heaven. We're with Jesus. We'll be there for eternity, but then we will be rewarded or awarded for what we have done for him. But then there's a second judgment, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Every unbelieving person that has ever existed will appear before this. They'll be appear before the unbending standard of God's truth, and his judgment will be forever, and it will be unalterable. You know, there are some denominations today, and sadly, I've learned recently some evangelical denominations who believe in what is known as conditional immortality. Now, what on earth does that mean, you might ask? Conditional immortality. Well, what they believe is this. They believe that hell does not exist, and that believers will go to heaven be with Jesus, and unbelievers will be annihilated. They just won't be anymore. They will be gone. This is not what the Word of God says. So anyone that's teaching that and preaching that is not teaching and preaching from God's Word. Because we read this in Luke chapter 16. Everyone who has ever lived will be resurrected and judged, and those who are condemned will suffer torment forever. This is true. This is sad. This is alarming. It's something that we need to take very, very seriously. To put the two judgments in perspective, we need to remind ourselves there are two resurrections. Obviously, the first resurrection and the second. The first is for believers, and the second is for unbelievers. Now, what about the first resurrection? This occurs in two stages. This may sound a little complicated, but hopefully it won't be so complicated. The first stage will be the rapture, when every true believer leaves this earth and goes to be with Jesus forever and ever. The second stage of this will occur 7 years later, when the people who are martyred on earth during the tribulation period will die. Their souls will go to heaven, but then later they will be resurrected bodily. Now, just keep this in mind. The rapture occurs, every true believer leaves, unbelievers are left on earth, and then during the next 7 years, there's going to be hell on earth like there's never been before. If we think there's persecution now, we don't want to wait until then. We will be with the Lord, but those who are left behind will be going through that terrible persecution. And millions will die. Some of those will be martyred for their faith in Jesus. Remember, they didn't believe in Jesus before the tribulation. Therefore, they're going through the tribulation. When they're in the tribulation, some will come to know Jesus as Savior. And when they do, they will be saved, but they may even be beheaded for their faith. That's how bad things are going to be during that tribulation period. But this second stage of the first stage, the rapture, the second stage, will be the people who are killed for as believers in the tribulation period will also go to be in glory. But then there is a second resurrection, and that is for unbelievers. In the book of Revelation, John describes the second resurrection, which Jesus refers to as the resurrection of condemnation. Not the resurrection of life, but the resurrection of condemnation. What about unbelievers? Well, in Revelation 20, John describes the second resurrection. This is where all the dead unbelievers will be raised to face their eternal punishment. Could we have an S? The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. So let me give you a picture. We're in the church age, then comes the rapture, then comes the tribulation, then comes the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So at the end of the 1,000-year of Christ, back to that verse, please, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. The 1,000 years, that's the millennial reign of Jesus, to which we are looking forward. In this second resurrection, the unsaved dead, all of them, from creation to the end of the millennium, will face their final condemnation. When you think about it, John says this, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them." This is Jesus. Jesus is the one who will be at the Bema judgment seat for believers. Jesus is the one. God gave him the authority to be the judge of all the earth. And Jesus will be the judge. And he's going to measure it by his standard. Going to measure by his standard. And those who do not live up to his standard will be cast into eternal hell. This is very serious, isn't it? You and I can't live by his standard. But Jesus did. And Jesus did it for you and for me. And that's why it's so vital that we put our trust in him. We don't know when this great white throne judgment specifically is going to take place. We know at the end of the millennium, but what we know is it's going to take place. What do we know? We know the rapture is going to take place. We know that the tribulation is going to take place. We know that the millennial reign of Jesus is going to take place. And we know that all eternity is going to take place. And those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be with Jesus for all eternity. And those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not be with Jesus. They will be in hell. It'll be a place of torment for all eternity. They will not be annihilated. They will be in hell forever. So the conclusion of all this is this. This is a very serious subject, the subject of judgment. Granted, there are those who believe that there will be no judgment, but just because they believe there won't be one doesn't mean there won't be one. The fact is, the Word of God tells us there will be one, and so indeed there will be. There's a judgment for the saved, often referred to as the Bema judgment seat of Christ, and that's where believers will be receiving awards for all that they've done in Christ's name. Then there's a judgment for the unsaved, and they will stand before all the judge of all the earth, and they will find out. You notice it said the books will be opened? The books will be opened? I wonder how many books there are. But the important book is the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray that your name is written. So that's my question for you. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? In the worship team singing this morning, there was a line that said, "Still the greatest treasure is for those who accept him now." Still the greatest treasure is for those who accept him now. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And do you know it? If you don't, then now's the time that you can confirm it. I'm going to say a word of prayer. I'm going to say it slowly. I'm going to say it slowly because I would like you to repeat it after me. Now, not audibly, just in your head. Repeat these words after me, particularly if you've never received Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you've never put your trust in Him. So let us pray. I invite you to pray and say this silently with me. Dear God, I do not want my sin to separate me from you any longer. You have promised that if I believe in Jesus, you'll forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. You'll show me the purpose of my life, and you'll accept me into your family and bring me to heaven one day to live with you for eternity. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin, and I believe deep in my heart that you are my Savior. I trust you when you say salvation comes by grace, through faith, and not by anything I do. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord. Today, I commit my life to you. I want to live the way you created me to, and to use the remainder of my life to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, folks, if this is the first time you prayed that prayer, I'd invite you to speak to me or to one of the deacons this morning. Father, we thank you for your love, your care, and your blessing, and we thank you for your word which is so vital to each of us. Thank you that we've been able to hear your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.